Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Pat from the Blue Room. Morning to you, Pat.
Morning.
Success for the under 23. Sort of success. Was it dampened in any way in the sense in which the title was won? So Liverpool beat Man City.
No.
Which means that Everton are the champions, rightly so, and that's brilliant.
No.
You'd prefer to do it by just playing yourself on the night, though, wouldn't you?
No. Care less. They won it. If it was their first team, I wouldn't care.
So you don't care how it's won?
No. They won more games than Man City. Okay. And they've won more games than Liverpool, so therefore they've won it. So it doesn't really matter, does it?
It is a great success. Champions of the under-23 league. I think it's a brilliant success. Now, Mark Quayle, who is a devout Evertonian himself, played it down somewhat before. He felt it didn't really have its place in terms of a massive celebration. He said it's too much subject to sort of change and variety, and you know, you might see you might see a player like Mo Besic playing in the under-23s that sort of tilts the balance a bit too much. How much of an achievement is it for the under-23s?
I can't agree with that. And to be fair, he's got a point in a way. But do you know what? It's not to do with Mo Besic. Or, do you know, the person that might have tilted the balance more than anyone else was Omar Nias. Funny enough, he played 3 or 4 games and he got 7 goals. So that's maybe one of the things. But I don't think that's true anymore. Because
how old is Omar?
Oh, he's 25.
Right.
You can play over.
You can play 3, can't you?
Yeah. Everton treat their under-23 side like its own separate team now. And it was very rare, actually, that first teamers were dipped in it. Now, they were now and again, and I went to watch a game a couple weeks ago when they played Spurs and beat them quite comfortably, where Brendan Galloway was playing. He came back for the game. Besic was playing. Dominic Calvert-Lewin was playing. But they're within the rights to do that. You know, you've got to look at it the other way as well. Tom Davies was the captain for this team till December, and then he was launched into the first team. Mason Holgate has played for the side, and now he's in the first team. So it's actually they've been stripped of a couple of their best players, and they've had to change the team now and again. But they've brought players in as well, strictly for the under-23 side. They brought a young lad in from Germany, from Wolfsburg, called Donker, who unfortunately has gone back because he got an injury. And he was signed for the team. Calvert-Lewin was signed for the 23 side. It was almost like, get them in the 23 side, build a structure for a year, and then maybe get them into the first team. And it's almost like a separate club with David Unsworth running it and John Ebrill. And obviously the goal is to get the players in the first team, but not.
Well, that is the goal.
It is the goal, and it's working very, very well. So they're doing the job, and that's why I don't think you can underplay it, because they have. If you look at our team recently, you only have to look at Friday night. John Joe Kenny played right back for 90 minutes, nearly scored the winner in the 90th minute that would have got them the league title, and then was on the bench Saturday. And we've had a bench recently of 4, 5, 6 players from this side. So it's doing very, very well, and I don't think you can take anything away from what they've achieved. I've bemoaned for a while reserve team football, because I used to love going as a kid to Goodison and watching reserve team football and seeing that mixture of young kids coming through and players who are not playing in the first team. And for so long, it didn't exist. It was for so long just a place where you played kids. And I know David Moyes bemoaned the fact that there was no gap between them, and he wanted to see second teams come in. Like a second team, Everton second team, go into the conference or something. Martinez was a little bit the same. And I think this under-23s league has breached the gap. So I think the fact that we've won it in that first year shows how well we're doing in our youth ranks.
How much of an indicator should it be for where the club are going to be in 4, 5 years' time with talent? Should it be the definitive indicator which shows that they have got a group of players? And we'd all hark back to Manchester United and the Beckhams, but Scholes. We'd all love to think that would happen at Everton or Liverpool. Does it reflect in the same way now with the under-23s? Or is there too many variables going on with Premier League football?
I think the fact that there are 5 or 6 coming through all at the same time is really... It's really hopeful for the future.
Is it hard to judge their level? To win the under-23s, is that a really Is that a great indicator of their level within Premier League football as well?
No, I think actually this year with the under-23s, I haven't watched it. I think the gap has got a little bit closer physically. I don't think football-wise there's been an issue, but I think physically there has been a problem in years gone by. And I haven't watched them a couple of times. I think physically they're a lot more ready to step up. And we've seen, as I say, you know, you look at who we've brought into the first team: Davis, Pennington, Holgate, Calvert-Lewin, Brendan Galloway, who's been a Premier League player in the past. They've all played in it. Will five or six come through? Maybe with Ronald Koeman, he's already said he wants to promote youth. That's been I think the big problem with it in the past is that you might get one or two, and it's hard to judge the players. With this, I think we've judged it, and I think we've judged it well. And I think a big indicator of it is sort of how Jurgen Klopp's reacted to Liverpool's youth system. He's almost tore it up and is looking to start again by taking the first team up to Kirby. And I think that's a great indicator of how well Everton have done in the last few years, and have completely stripped Liverpool of any youth identity. I know they've got a few coming through now, but Everton, you know, have had real success with the way they've done things and having everyone at the same place at Finch Farm.
Well, both our managers have got a bit of an obsession with making sure that the future is based on youth.
Yeah, and I don't think, and what I think is really important as well is that, I think this is a big German thing as well with Jurgen Klopp. It's not about producing players that are just going to play for your first team. You think bigger than that. You think about the football all over. I think in Germany, certainly Bayern Munich had a rule where I think it had to be six coming through every year. Two for the first team, two for the Bundesliga, and two for general football. I think that was the rule. It might be slightly different, but that was the rule. It was looking past. It was looking past just your own team. It was about the good of, for them, the whole of German football, making sure that the players that didn't get into your first team were good enough for somewhere else because you were the highest level. And I suppose it's the same with Everton. I suppose it's the same with Liverpool. They're looking to produce footballers that are going to play for. If they, you know, not only if they play for their first team, but if they go somewhere else, they're good enough to play in the Premier League, or they're good enough to play for the country. I think that's a very good way of looking at things. It keeps the standards high, and that's certainly what Everton have been doing this year. And for a long time, Everton have been doing well in things like under-18s, under-19s, going to over to America to the Dallas Cup and these kind of tournaments and winning them. I think this is the first time in a while we've took that step up. And it's nice that I think it's the first year of the Premier League 2, this under-23s idea, which was supposed to beat the gap. And these lads are also playing at Goodison as well. And I think that all helps as well. And hopefully in a couple of weeks, a week Monday, I think it is, when they play Liverpool at Goodison, there's a big crowd that's...
Well, the Echo are saying maybe 20,000. Look, let's quickly listen to David Unsworth. So he joined Mick Coyle on Liverpool Live yesterday to reflect on his team's success over the course of the season. Naturally delighted.
First time I've ever cheered when Liverpool have won a game, I have to say. But thank you to all the players concerned last night. They did us a favour. But no, quite seriously, I'm delighted for all our young players. It's a great achievement.
I guess when you got together at USM Finch Farm today, you could enjoy the moment. A little bit different, isn't it, to winning it outright yourselves?
It is. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit subdued, but at the same time, it's a great achievement. They've worked so hard all season, and it's just rewards for all that effort and hard work that they've put in from, you know, the very start, the very first day of pre-season. So, but no, we've enjoyed this morning, and we've got one game to go, albeit against Liverpool now at Goodison. So we're going to enjoy that as well.
Have you always felt that you've had a consistent squad to deal with? Obviously, there have been players who've emerged from your squad into the first team, and I guess in the end, that's what it's all about. But have you been happy with the options that you've had available to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a core group of players that have played the majority of the games. The job in itself is always a little bit mixed. You never really know until maybe a couple of days before a game what sort of team you're going to be able to put out. Are a first-team player? Is a first-team player going to come down and have minutes? Is somebody going to go out on loan? Is somebody going to get called into the first team? So it really is, you know, part of the territory of an under-23 team that it's always a little bit mixed in terms of a couple of days before each game. But like I said, we've got a core group of players, a quality core group of players who have just been outstanding throughout the whole season.
You can hear the smile on the face of David Unsworth. Is he a future and I'm talking a long way away. Yeah. Is he a future? You know what I'm going to say. Yeah. Is he a future Everton manager?
It's a mixed one. This. I mean, I've been very lucky. I've spoke to him myself a couple of times. I spoke to him this season, and he is so infectious when you speak to him. I mean, funny enough, I spoke to him a couple of years ago. He was very gracious in letting us come up to Finch Farm and interviewing him. It was actually one of the first interviews we did on camera, and we did a Finch Farm, and he was so nice. Like, he completely calmed us down and ourselves. And you look at him like that, and you look at what he's brought through, and you look at the players he's dealing with, because not only the players that have gone through, there's about four or five that are still on the edges that people should get excited about, like Liam Walsh and Robinson at left back, John Joe Kenny, I've already mentioned. He's got them now. If the way the Everton is set up at the moment with Steve Walsh, you look at that and you think, well, if Ronald Koeman was tempted to go to, say, Barcelona, maybe in a year or 2 years' time, I think he could step up and be the manager. Now, the only issue, I think, would be if Everton are really, really are looking to become a big established club, would having David Unsworth as the manager be what players were looking at? Maybe what would have to happen is Everton would have to get to a level where people wouldn't actually care that David Unsworth was the manager, whereas at the moment we're a club that needs a manager like Ronald Koeman who can attract players by saying, forget about where Everton are at the moment. I'm Ronald Koeman. I've won a Champions League with Barcelona. I've done all these things in football. I want to take this club to the next level. I don't think a David Unsworth could do that.
Will he be manager before Duncan Ferguson?
Yeah, because of the path.
That's interesting. What's Ferguson's role at the moment?
He's a coach.
Right.
But I think with Duncan,
because he obviously has ambitions or aspirations. Do you know what?
He's another one I've spoke to. I've been very lucky to speak to Dunk. I think he loves Everton so much, Duncan, that he doesn't want to be... This might sound slightly unambitious. He doesn't want to do anything that will, like, affect... He wants to be a career man at Everton. Like, that person behind the scenes that's always a coach and doesn't want to do anything to affect that. Like, if you speak to him, he's so emotional about Everton that I think... Imagine if he was the manager and it all went wrong and he had to leave the club.
He couldn't hack it.
He couldn't do that. Whereas David Unsworth, he took a step away from the club, and actually he only come back to the club by accident. He only came back because he was asked to come back, I think, by Alan Stubbs when David Weir moved on, and then Alan Stubbs left to go to Scotland, and he ended up getting the job, and he's been very fortunate, but he's took it with two hands. But I think he understands the pathway, whereas I think Dunk's just very happy being a club man and being, you know, a coach or whatever it is, and just being at Everton. I don't think he could quite handle emotionally leaving Everton if he had to.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.